Okay, today is February 27th, 2018. What is your name?
Ann Daly.
And where do you live?
I live at 1320 Cedar Street, Ashland, Kansas.
Okay, what's your occupation?
I work in the kitchen at USD 220, Ashland.
And how old are you?
I'm 64 years old.
When did you first become aware of the Starbuck fire, hereafter referred to simply as the fire?
I think it must have been at when the evacuation emergency notice came across my phone. We knew there was a fire at 12:30 at the lunchroom. We sat down to have our lunch, and we were noticing brown snowflakes, as we called them. We at that time we were going, "What is all that dust blowing around out there?" And then someone said that there was a fire west of us. And then whenever I left work at about 1:30, then it was just, you know, it was just a haze. Didn't think anything about it.
Yeah, wind blowing very.
Oh yeah, the wind was horrendous. Yeah,
yeah, yeah. So, did you evacuate?
Not immediately, because we had cattle. We had cows that I needed to go check on, and I moved them up. If you know where the castle is, mm-hmm. They were along the highway there, across south of the cemetery at the time, and. My husband had left that morning for Iowa, so he was long gone, but he was in contact with our youngest son, J.R., because some of the people that he was with was getting reports. Mm-hmm. And when we got the evacuation notice on my phone, I immediately texted him and told him that we were being evacuated and what should I do. And he said that J.R. was coming over, was going to try to come over and help me. So I went to the high school and sat there by the swimming pool.
Yes.
Waiting on him. And probably 20 minutes later, I saw someone in a tractor and discs start disking up the ditches there, mm-hmm. Were across north of where the new hospital is and around the school and stuff. And then JR showed up, and then we went back and we started moving the cattle.
So did you just move them with vehicles or
yes.
use a
Yeah, RV? We just had to open a gate at that time and just move them up to the short grass where the castle sits now.
And then after that, once you got the cattle taken care of, did you go evacuate?
We have cattle up north on the Able Place. Mm-hmm. And he and I decided that we would go up and check on them. And so as we were driving out, we could see by that time that it was getting so dark, and we drove up to the Cotton Balls place because I had talked to Mary earlier. So we drove up there and was sitting there, and we had met them going to town, and we kind of sat there, and then I'm talking to Becky Mishler on the phone, and she was at the emergency center with Millie. Right. And she said, "Where are you?" And I told her, she said, "You need to leave there immediately." So there, we went back south and got on the highway, and he said, "Let's just go to Coldwater," like they told us to.
Okay.
So we got out as far as Sitka, and we sat there. We were following Nicole Brown, had picked up her horses out here by the welding place. Yes. And so we followed her out to Sitka, and she pulled over, and we were sitting there. And we sat there for quite a while, and this man driving a big tanker truck, it looked, you know, like a milk truck,
right,
had pulled up and said, you know, he had to get to Dodge. And we said, "You're not getting to Dodge this way, so either sit here with us or you've got to go to Coldwater." So it started getting darker and darker. And so when Nicole pulled out, JR said, "Let's do it. Let's just go on and try to get to Coldwater." And that was the scariest part, going to Coldwater, because I could not see his tail lights. And he said he could not see her tail. He was in a vehicle ahead of me.
So by then, the big, heavy smoke was at Sitka. Could you see any flames?
No.
but it was the smoke was rolling through.
Yeah, the smoke was so heavy at that point, and I don't know what the man in the truck did. If he sat there and waited it out, I don't know what he did or where he went, because there was no way of knowing, because I couldn't see. Yeah, I couldn't see in front of me, and I sure couldn't see behind me. And until we got even past protection, we couldn't see each other.
Do you know about what time it was?
That had to be, I'm going to say between 4:30 and 5 or 5:30. I really don't remember what time it was. I just know that by the time we got to Coldwater and he fueled up, it was getting dark there too. I mean, everybody had their lights on. And so we went north to Greensburg and then back over to Meade where he lived.
And did you have any trouble getting back to Meade from Greensburg?
No.
Did you go 54?
Yeah.
Go well, Greensburg to Mineola?
Uh-huh.
Down that way through to Meade?
Mm-hmm.
And no?
No, that's not, no. From Greensburg, we went.
Did you go to Dodge?
We didn't go into Dodge. Where's that other road? What's the road that, but I'm sure, I don't remember going through Mineola, but we must have. And then right, and through Fowler, and then, yeah, and then to me.
Benny.
Yeah, yeah. And then after we got there, he talked to his dad again, and he said, I'm going to try to get back over there. But all the roads were closed, and his wife begged him, please don't go. And he said, I've got to. Dad's asked me to do it. He said, I'll be fine because I know all those back roads. And mm-hmm. he didn't have any trouble getting back over here.
Right.
Where he met up with Dusty Hink. He'd come over to check on his mom
uh-huh.
and dad.
So when you were going to Coldwater, could you see the road? From when you left Ashland, you could.
From Sitka on,
protection.
Mm-mm.
And when you got to Coldwater, you just fueled up and then you went ahead and left.
Uh-huh.
So you didn't really see it and talk to other people there?
No, but we had to wait in line to get fuel. There were
lots.
Yes, lines of people trying to fuel up there at that little station across from the Dollar General.
Yes.
Yeah. So I sat over there waiting on him to get fuel. And, yeah, he had to wait maybe for 10, 12 vehicles in order to get into line. I was just had my fingers crossed that they wouldn't run out of gas.
So when you went through protection, could you see if there were people there at that gas?
They were already gone? I don't know. We couldn't.
You just couldn't see
you
it?
You just could not see.
So did you stay in Meade then?
I did. I spent the night with JR's wife, Justina.
And then when did you come back? Let's go back. Were you in contact with JR and Jim during the night or pretty much after
yes.
he came over?
Yes. When JR came back, he kept calling me. He said, because he was sitting at the castle where we had all that, we had bunches of hay bales set up there at the castle.
Right.
So that's where he and Dusty went. Well, the fire that came through, of course, like I said, the grass, it came under the fence towards into the castle, but the grass was so short that it was going so slow. But that
right.
CRP between the castle and the highway was going, and it was heading west towards Kurt Woodruff's
right.
place down in the creek. And I told JR, you've got to go get somebody because you can't let that get down in that creek. And he kept calling, and there was no one to come.
Mm-hmm.
And about 2 in the morning, he said that Kurt drove up there with his pickup and trailer, and he drove through where the fire was easing its way towards his property, and he went to town, and he came back with a truck. And so with a little pickup, I guess, one of the smaller, and they put that out. It got within 50 yards of his place.
Right.
But it didn't come on over south onto the castle or any of that grass that we had there.
Right. And it didn't get into, like, the creek bed and go on down south there.
Mm-mm.
It stayed completely out of that.
Yeah, unless it was down by the on the highway where the bridge is at the welding shop, unless it got into there a little bit, but no.
Yeah. So when did you come back?
They let us come back around 10, I think, is about when we drove back over here.
So what did you do when you got back home?
Well, he had spent the night at the house after they got that fire put out, and he said about 3:30 or 4, he went on back to the house and got some sleep. And then after Justina and I got back to town, we got in the pickup, and then we just started driving to see, because we had to go back up north and check those calves to make sure that they had stayed on the wheat. And there was a lot of the grass there on that property that had burned, you know, and across chutes. And, right. And we lost a lot of fence there going west from the Able home place.
Right. So were the cattle okay?
Yep. All the cattle was fine. And Shoop's cattle was good. He had busted the fence there on the north end of our property and put them up on our wheat and shut the gate so that they wouldn't mix with ours. Well, JR didn't know his cattle from our cattle. Right. So he said, they can't get to water. I said, well, then open the gate. And come to find out it was Shoop's. He was going, but then we had to sort cattle again, but that was no big deal.
Not a whole lot then.
Yeah, we learned a lot through this thing.
So did you have a lot of different places where you have cattle that you needed to go check? Just those two?
Just there at the castle, we had our cows, our pregnant cows. And then the babies off of them, the yearlings off of them, were up there at the north place.
And so everybody was okay that way. But you lost a lot of fence out of this pasture?
We lost a lot of fence. His sister has that big Paxton place out there at Sitka. She lost all of her fence and all of the CRP and all the grassland. She lost everything out there along with, I'm sure, the Yorks
at the Sitka corner.
At the Sitka, uh-huh.
So, did you go to work at the school then?
No. Well, by this time they had already decided, you know, we were not going to school the next day.
Right.
And so by that time, James had made his 16-hour trip back. And
did he just get up there and turn around and come back?
Because they were carpooling, so he didn't have if he could have just turned around and came back, he would have. But and he had to, some guy from I'm not sure, just north of us that had rode along or was in his pickup, gave him his pickup and said, just use it. Because he had left his pickup, I think, like in Wichita or somewhere. They all grouped up to meet. And so he got there. Well, then they wouldn't let him leave immediately because there was a tornado watch there. So he had to wait for the all clear from the tornado thing, and then he headed straight back.
So as a county commissioner, was he in contact with the other county commissioners and the emergency management center?
I'm sure that he was. He didn't say too much about it. It was kind of, I think he was so worried about everybody and everything.
Right.
And then, but I don't know. Because he, like I said, he hasn't really talked about all of the details that he handled through that, but I know that he was on the phone all the time.
Right.
And then trying to help everybody figure out their fencing and who had lost what and all of that. You know, it was very confusing.
So when did the school decide that they would open up and have a place where people could come and get meals or stay? Is that done pretty quickly?
I think that must have been pretty quick. That first week when Mr. Wedding decided, or who the powers that be, decided to keep it closed because, there was just no way that they could, the kids weren't going to come back because the town kids might have, but, you know, how many would have been in the class, right?
Right.
So I really don't know what, if it was just a snowball effect and this is just, you know, the easiest way for everybody. I really don't, I don't know how that all came to be.
So were you asked to help or did you just agree to go up and find out what was going on?
Right. That's how it worked, you know, between helping and out on the farm and all. I checked in with them ever so often, and they had so many people. There was one or two nights that I went up, and when it started easing off a little bit, it was close to the end, and I went up and stayed by myself. The girls needed a break, and it was a lull, I guess. I don't know where either groups of them had come in and was resting, and we were waiting on two more crews to come in. So Lexi Miracle and I hung out you know, waiting for the crew to come in. And then once they came in and was fed, then I just cleaned up and left. But now those, the other girls were there almost 24/7. It was just a constant.
So there was always somebody involved with the school in the cafeteria or at the school at some point.
Yeah.
But, so do you know what kind of meals they served?
Well, a lot of them, whatever... After Tyson, and before Tyson brought all their stuff in, it was mostly people around town bringing stuff in.
So when did Tyson come?
I don't know how many days had gone. Yeah, it was everything just jumbled. It was just, you know, a constant.
Yeah.
There was times when we didn't even know when day was night and night was day, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
So, and I know it was probably a week when Mr. Wettig asked me, he said, we've got to get this stuff out of school. All the stuff that was being brought in, donated and everything, was just in the hallways. And he said something about, we've got to get this out of the school.
Right.
And I called Kayla Maris and I called Christy Lee.
Right.
And they took it from there. And then we wound up out there at the 4-H building. So I went out and opened that up at 8 o'clock every morning for a week and stayed while people were bringing in and people were taking out and all of that.
So. Was there some organization to how they had stuff situated out there where they're like...
It was...
Different sets for clothes and, you know, places?
After the volunteers started coming in, people like Candy Park and all of that... I guess they had worked at the Tabitha House, or they, or maybe been through this before. I don't know, but let me tell you, it was overwhelming for someone that's never been through it. And when you are being bombarded with goodness, it's kind of like you just sit back and go, just do with it with what you will, because I don't know what to do with it all. I mean, it was just.
What type of things were donated?
Oh gosh, everything. There was there were clothes. There was food. There was things like from huge hotels, like shower caps and the things you find in a motel room. There were just cases of that. Cases of cleaning stuff. People were bringing in things that needed to go to the dump. And I'm going, what in the world? But then those guys that were building fences would come in there and they would take that kind of stuff, like the boots and stuff, because of the soot.
Oh, yeah.
So instead of wearing their best and what, you know, the brand new stuff, they were coming in and getting stuff that was practically wore out and nobody else would want to wear. But that's what they were wearing. To fix fence and to gather cattle and all of that when they were out there in that mess.
Because they weren't expecting all the soot and stuff.
Yeah.
What's your most vivid memory of the fire?
I think the pictures, as far as the fire goes, the glow, the pictures of the glow gets... The scariest part for me was the ride from Sitka to Coldwater. I don't think I'm over that yet. I mean, I don't know how we got there. I swear to God, I do not know how we got there.
Yep.
And her pulling that horse trailer, and I know she had a horse in it because I saw her load it up.
Do you know how fast you were going?
No, I don't. I didn't dare look down because if I was going to see a taillight, I wanted to see it. Uh-huh. But no, it was a death grip. It was a death grip that night. And literally, I could not see the hood of my car, and I was driving a white vehicle.
Yeah. Was there a lot of ash in the air, or was it mostly the smoke?
Probably both. Now, there were times when you would glance, or there would be a bright, you know, something would kind of catch your eye, peripheral vision or something, and I don't know if that was, I don't know, burning bush or something flying, you know, from all
electrical wires.
I just don't know.
Yeah.
Because I was just focused. It was just tunnel vision in front of through that windshield.
So the week after the fire, mm-hmm. that was spring break, mm-hmm. did the school have to do a lot of cleaning to get ready for school again after?
And, well, there was spring break, and then we didn't go that week after. Because the guys were all still in there, you know. And, I know that they had to hire somebody to come in and do the carpets because it smelled like fire. I remember trying to clean the cafeteria, and we just cleaned it over and over. And we went through rags and water, and because the soot from the guys' uniforms and stuff, we just couldn't wash it away.
Yep. So did the smell linger also?
I think my smeller was probably burned out early on. So I don't remember. I remember the taste and the cough. I don't think any of us have ever recovered from that dry cough from that whole 2 weeks.
I know the school used some of their supplies to feed the firefighters that came that were staying there. Mm-hmm. Did the school replenish from some of the donated stuff, or
do you know
how they did that?
Yeah, no, not really. I know that we've still got some of the Tyson stuff there that people didn't take and we didn't use, but it's mostly, I think, cases of the chicken and stuff. And that's, you know, they just brought so much stuff. But most of it, I'm thinking, was donated. A lot of the food, I know that they did in the early on, have used, you know, like our coffee and our and some of our supplies and all of that. But
I know there was a box of corn dogs
that
went out. So I'm sure that was cool. So did you, your family, take advantage of the volunteers that came to help tear out fence and rebuild?
On the Paxton, at the Sitka place, we had some people from, I think they're from Michigan, had come and brought four or five young men. And they tore out a lot of around the CRP in Donna's place out there. Until they got on a rattlesnake one day and James brought them to town. But, like 2 or 3 days, I think he had help out there. JR and Justina helped us up at the Able place get that bag because the fire trucks had gone through there to, because there wasn't any gateways, you know, between those two pastures. Right.
Yeah.
So,
did you have to do a lot of emergency fence building to make sure that the cattle didn't wander?
Just up there at that Able place where we had the yearlings that to keep them off of Shoop's place. We did that. But other than that, we kept them, the girls, the cows, here at the castle. Mm-hmm. We could just shut that gate, and then they head below the house where we live.
Right.
So we didn't have to worry about putting them back out there by the highway.
And you didn't lose any tanks or...
Donna did. Donna lost a solar tank, and the solar and all of that sits right there by the highway out at Sitka, and the pens and all of that. Everything that was on that property was a total loss.
So she's going to have to replace that solar
panel? Well, we tried to turn it on. The wiring and everything was burned, and we turned it on, and it pumped water, but the tank... the tank was melted. So
may have to try that again. Huh?
Yeah, may have to try that again.
So, did you spend a lot of time rebuilding fence yourself, or did?
Yeah, we're still doing that. We're still repairing and fixing just on the interior fences now. He got some guys to come out, and we've had to pay to have a lot of fence up on the outside, the perimeter fences, but he and I are doing the interior fences.
So you replace those, and are you repairing or replacing everything?
Replacing.
Yes. And so did you take advantage of the volunteer barbed wire and fencing and stuff that came in? Did you get some of that?
We did.
What about the Community Foundation's application for help and the KLA. Did you take advantage of that?
I know he got the paperwork, but I can't tell you for sure if he filled it out and did all that.
Yeah.
I just don't know because he hasn't said one way or the other.
Did you choose to go back with steel posts, or have you done some creosote?
Creosote, yeah. And we couldn't afford to do the metal. We got, you know, between the metal T-post, but to put, we do a 4 T-post and then a creosote. So, you know, there's no way we could afford to put metal instead of creosote.
So you had some of it built for you, and then you're taking care of doing the rest.
Mm-hmm. We're doing the interiors ourselves.
Let's see. You've lived in Oklahoma. You've lived in Kansas. You've seen grass fires before. Have your experiences prepared you for this grass fire?
No.
What was the biggest differences between this fire and?
I guess the remoteness, being out here. You know, you see the grass fires, and they've always been so far away, or, you know, I've been so far removed that they didn't actually affect me personally. Mm-hmm. But this, I think, just the fear of not knowing what to do. I mean, if I could do it all over again, I would do everything different. But it was the evacuation part of it, you know. You just got to get out. Well, you can't get out yet. You can't go yet.
You have animals to take care of, right?
Yes, yes.
Did you ever consider staying?
I did for a fraction of a second until we were out at Cotton Balls. And I was looking south, and JR was talking to me looking north. And I didn't realize until I backed up why he said, let's go. Because that was coming from Bozidens, mm-hmm. you know. And whenever I turned to back up and I looked back over my shoulder, it was like, oh my gosh.
So did you take anything? Did you go back home and, like, get clothes or anything? You just headed out and went to Sitka?
Yep. Even when we took the four-wheel drive, because that's what we were using to move mm-hmm. the cattle, I said, we'll take it home. I want to get my car. And I didn't think about, you know, you should have got all those important papers. You should have, you know, you should. No. After seeing that smoke coming across.
Right. Just get out.
Yeah. It was like, we just better go. Yeah. You know?
How would you describe your emotional response to the fire? I mean, what were your first reactions besides that when you saw that? What other, when you first heard of the fire, what did you think?
Well, it was like, they'll take care of it. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, I wasn't worried. I mean, I was concerned and I knew we had things to do. Mm-hmm. When I saw him pull down in the ditch with that tractor, I think that set my emotions. That kind of set my urgency thing kind of kicked in.
See him disking the
ditch. Was like, oh my gosh. Because, I mean, he was on the state highway. I'm going, oh my gosh.
Why is he doing that?
I'm going, oh. I mean, I knew in my heart, I knew immediately what he was trying to do, you know, why he was doing that. But then it was like, oh, that's on the state property. And
this is serious, huh?
Yeah. The sense of urgency started cranking up then. Uh-huh. And then
when you returned from Mead, did you see a lot of devastation on the highway?
Yes.
Yes. Could you see what was going on?
Well, it was so darn weird that, you know, there'd be just patches of everything gone, and then there'd be tree rows and houses would be up and fine, and then there'd be nothing. It'd be all just black. I don't know how to articulate.
Could you see flames?
I couldn't drive. you know, I thought my mind was working, but Justina said, no, just let me drive. And it was a good thing she did. You know, it was...
It was hard to take in all this?
Yeah.
And you were on the highway, right?
Uh-huh.
Did you go later out to Sitka? And
I don't think I went to Sitka until James got back. And then he and I went out and evaluated and looked. We went up to make sure that, you know, he wanted to make sure that I got the cows where they were supposed to be.
That's important.
Mm-hmm.
And then the difference between the west side of town and the east side, was there a stark difference there?
I don't know that I was aware or comprehending that. Because JR had sent a video after he got back to town out there by the where the hospital is.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, he had it facing. He said, this... You know, you could see the fire behind him. And right. Plus, I had seen Ryan Lee had posted some video. And I'd ask him to please go up. They had called and wanted to know if there's any place to stay in Meade. And I said, yeah, you stay here, you know, and all of that. And I said, have you been up to the castle? Would you drive up to the castle? And he said, that's where I'm at right now. I said... Is the tree row there? Are the cows? He said the cows are fine. He said the tree row's gone. So it had already gone through that part.
Yeah. So have your cattle that were there that inhaled that smoke and stuff, have they had any problems?
Not that.
You're not noticing anything?
No.
Yeah. So who are some of the people or agencies that proved most helpful during or after the fire?
To us, I think it was just a concerted effort of everybody. Everybody had something that they had, some place to be and something to do, you know. So, and I'm a little bit far removed from that part also, you know, just getting your work done and all of that. And James took care of all the business end of it. It was just, you know.
You just mainly... checked on your own cattle and and went to the school and helped with the donations and stuff.
Yeah.
That's pretty big. What effects, physical, financial, emotional, do you think the fires had on you and the community?
I think it brought them all a lot closer to begin with. You know, it drew everybody in to help each other out and who needed the help and all of that. The biggest thing was all the outsiders. You know, I'd sit there and at my house and watch those truckloads. You know, they just kept coming and kept coming day after day after day. And all of the people across the way there at the community center, you know, and those people that were over there keeping those people going also, giving them a place to eat and something to eat and a place to lay their head and all of that.
Did you ever go over and eat meals with the volunteers at the camp?
I didn't. James went over several times with the guys that that helped him out at Donna's. But
do you keep in contact with them?
He does. Yeah, he does. There were some young boys that Facebooked and you know, wanted to friend him, and then they kept up for a little while, but I don't know that they still do.
Yeah, there's a couple of people. Can you perceive of anything positive that came from the fire?
Well, I think for myself, I would do, like I said, I would do a lot of things different now, knowing what I know. That's always easy to say. Yeah. No, hindsight, now this is what I would do. But I think just... everybody just helping everybody else and the community, you know, with all the financial and emotional help. At least they know we've got a community that can stand together.
Was one more important than the other, financial or
not to
help?
Me. Not to
it
me.
Was kind of even.
Was, it, yeah, it was.
So what can you do or have you done to prepare for a different, for another such emergency or?
You know, I don't think I've done a darn thing other than remember, you know, and to stay calm.
You haven't made any plans as to what you would take
where,
the next time?
That's all in a, that's in a little grouping now. And what's more important, I always said if my house was on fire, what would, the first thing I would take my kids' graduation pictures off the wall. And now my grandkids, so that's going to be a lot of pictures. So now I've got to rethink all that. But, I don't know. I don't know if we're ever really prepared for the next time.
Right. So what about the community? Is there some things that we need to think about and do differently or plan better for?
I think since it's happened, I think that they've all learned a lot. I think that they're all better equipped to take care of us, you know? Mm-hmm. I totally trust them. I trusted them then, and I trust them now. I know there was several that went up to the firehouse and set it out at the firehouse. Now, I never thought of that because those were the people that told me to get the heck out of town, you know? So that's what I got to do. I got to do what they told me to do.
Right. But, were you amazed that a lot of people did when they said evacuate, just up and got out?
No, because that's what they were supposed to do. I was amazed at the ones that didn't.
Yep.
I wished one of those had been me. But, yeah, that was, you're not supposed to be there. They told you to get out, and I get out. Yeah. So, that's what I did.
You're probably lucky for it.
Yeah.
Not as scary. So, do you have any other thoughts about this experience? Anything else you'd like to add?
I was just starting to sleep good at night when you said I want to talk about it again. I told James, that's great. And it's not that it's the woulda, coulda, shoulda. That's what keeps me awake. Is didn't you do this or why didn't you do that? Or
have you talked to other people about it and kind of gone through different scenarios of what you could have done or helped yourself that way?
No, not really.
Do you think it would help? Or to get a bunch of people together to kind of go through the experience?
What you should have done. Maybe. You know, I've heard of the Giles' stories and the Poseidon stories, and we've all, you know, that in smaller groups we've sat and talked, and I'm just in amazement how it all, and whenever I heard the story of the Grigsby's and that, I mean, my heart just broke for all of them, thinking, oh my gosh. And that little boy, he came to school and he'd never known anything, that it was just another day in the park, you know. And that was like a week or so that I found out, you know, what he had actually been through. Oh, my God.
Yeah, just another day.
Just another day.
Yep. So did Jim feel like he was a disconnect from when he left to when he got back?
Yes, yeah. He was in a bit of a panic. He didn't think he could get back far enough. And then when he got to Buckland and they weren't going to let him come home, they were stopping, you know, nobody was coming south.
Right.
Then I think a little bit of anger kicked in then also. But they let him. I mean, he got here.
Yeah.
And
it's good.
Yeah.
So, anything else?
I think that's, I can't think of a thing, kiddo.
Okay. Thank you very much for sharing your story with us. We appreciate it.
You're very welcome.
Thank you.